We mentioned last time that even though we assume that a Lila Ava is a Shaila of a Daraisa, even with Shinuyim, meaning that we're cautious for the position of Rebbe that there's an Issa Daraisa in the Sina Samayim, such that it should follow the Sina Samayim even with the Shinoi and a Lila Ava. Would not necessarily be sufficient to permit it. Nevertheless, we saw that the Tav in Sukkot and Yuvais, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Samaches with the Shaar Tzion, Sukkot and Pei Daled, assume that in a situation where it's impossible or impractical to prepare a given food item before Shabbos, you could prepare it even in a Blila Ava with a Shinoi. So if you do a Shina B'Seinu and a Sina, that would permit. Now the Orach HaChayit, the Orach HaShabbos points out that that's a little bit difficult to understand in the Mishnah Berurah, because we have seen that the Mishnah Berurah quotes both days in Rishonim, but the Mishnah Berurah is Toshei Shel Halacha in the Ber Halacha Shin Kav Dalid Yud Dalid for the position that if you have a Lav Bar Gibel, you have something that doesn't lend itself to binding together in a single unit like Kemach, that's something is Labar Gibel, then Rukoshesh with those chief Mishonim, that there's an Isser, the rice of the Nesina Samayim, even according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Right? So Mishnah Berurah Toshesh for the Bali Tosos, that there would be an Isser, the rice of the Nesina Samayim, even according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So if we're talking about something that's Labar Gibel, then how can you tell me that the Ikaret Din we assume like the position of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, and therefore push comes to shove, if you have a food item that you can't properly prepare ahead of time, then you can do it on Shabbos with the Shina Vinasina Samayim. But if the Mishnah Berurah himself is Toshesh or Machmir, and even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda, we're talking about this and the rights of Vinasina Samayim since the Labar Gibel, that how do you sustain such a heter? Right? So that's what the Orach HaShabbos raises. He says you have to say, according to Mishnah Berurah, that the situations in which Mishnah Berurah is prepared to be makel are situations where it's not totally la bar gibel. Meaning it may be a middle ground, somewhat bar gibel, but not totally labor evil, such that he's only making a situation where at the end of the day, he would assume that even according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda, there's no chashash, or according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Huda, there's no chashash of a daraisa. So the Orach HaShabbos writes that this kula, if you accept this kula, the Taz and Mishnah Berurah, that if you have something which you can't probably prepare to go yom, even if it's a Blila Ava, you can be makel to prepare on Shabbos with a Shina in the Sefer Messina because we still make her a din like a Yossi Rabbi Huda. That this is a little more difficult to sustain nowadays, where most foods are prepared ahead of time. That with our refrigeration and our modes of food preparation, just about any salad could be prepared on Friday afternoon and still be sufficiently edible on Shabbos day. So he's skeptical as to the extent to which this kula of the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah should be operative. So he raises, for example, in this context, coleslaw. So he assumes that coleslaw would be a problem of Lisha. So Blila Abba. But presumably, he's not talking about our coleslaw, because our coleslaw has thick enough pieces. And as we noted, that if you have thick enough pieces, that's not a problem with leash at all. You can put salad dressing in a salad, and that doesn't raise a problem with leash according to anyone, because the pieces are independent and big enough. Leash is the only problem if something is dak-dak. So the Orach HaShabbos compares his coleslaw to the case of the Taz and Mishnah Berurah's Uber Kiss and the cucumber salad, which is doc. So I was talking to Rabbi Wiedelbank on the way out of the show last night, So you point out probably the Rosh Shabbos is talking about some kind of Israeli kosher. He wasn't sure what Israeli kosher looks like, but maybe something closer to relish or something that's more dak-dak along the lines of the Taz's cucumber salad. Because if it's our kosher, our kosher should not be subject to any problem of leisha anyway. But whatever his kosher is, whatever kosher they serve in Harnos, he thinks that you can't really rely on the Taz nowadays to prepare on Shabbos, because you compare just as well on Erev Shabbos. If it's a blila, then it would be questionable whether there's any heftah to prepare on Shabbos. The other related situation is what the Chazon Ish notes, that if you have a baby food, which is a blila ava, and you need it for the baby, so then you can prepare it on Shabbos with the shinui, again, along the same lines, that if there's a significant tzorech, since Mi'ikra did, we assume like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, then a shina v'nesina b'lila ava would be permissible. And presumably, that's a kol shekein for the Mishabura. The Mishabura is willing to allow you to prepare your relish on Shabbos because it's not going to last if you prepare it on Erev Shabbos. And you could probably get by very well on Shabbos if you don't have your relish or your cucumber salad or your Israeli coleslaw. So it's not like we'll talk about, we get to the beginning of Shin to test the Maisa Shabbos, whether there's grounds to be makel on Maisa Shabbos for Shogeg if you don't have any half food on Shabbos, so you're missing your cholent. We can talk about that, but no one's going to be makel if you're missing your cucumber salad. And yet, the Taz says that's enough of a ground to be makel on Lila Avon Shabbos. It's presumably be kosher cane that for baby food, unless the baby needs to eat, there would be grounds to be makel. So when it comes to baby cereal on Shabbos, the poskim say that it's preferable to make a lila raka. So you either prepare it before Shabbos and then add a little more on Shabbos, or you make it into a lila raka, you make it very liquidy. Now, it's hard enough to get a baby to eat baby cereal if it's not liquidy. It's even harder to get it to eat the baby cereal if it is liquidy. So it may not be sufficient. So what happens if your baby... my sense is that most babies don't eat any of the cereal, at least not for more than a day or two. But for the occasional baby that does eat baby cereal, or baby oatmeal or baby rice, whatever it is, for that brief stage where they're not eating anything else, that's all they're going to eat on Shabbos, and they're not willing to eat a blila raka. So the kids are starting to say, based on the Chazon Ish, that you could do it b'shinuyim, meaning you do a shinuya seder in the nesina. Normally, you put the oatmeal in, then you put the water in. And here, you're going to put the water in and then the oatmeal in. And then a shinoi the gimbal, like Shasi Garth. That's what Rabbi Eider writes. That's what Shmir Shabbos writes. That's what the Orcha Shabbos writes. That's what Rabbi Karp writes. However, Rabbi Willig wasn't so enamored with being makel, even for baby here, because at the end of the day, we're talking about a fashash the rice. At the end of the day, we are generally choshish for... Shitas Rebbe. So all things being equal, even if things aren't equal, so it's better to do your best to avoid getting into any shayla of having to make a blila ava on Shabbos, even for a baby. That's what Rabbi Harfenis writes in the Nishma Shabbos, Simin Shin Dalid. So he's also skeptical as to whether you really could be makel even for babies to prepare baby food with blila ava on Shabbos. Okay, so let's talk a little bit where there is a shinui, the Seder HaGibol, of the relative strength of the various shinuyim that we encountered. Again, we encountered different shinuyim in different contexts. We saw the Chazon Ish's comment that it's hard to know what to apply beyond the context that the Gemara presents it in. But as far as it's presented in Shulchan Aruch, so you have, for example, in Siman Shin Kaf Aleph, the Rama writes, well, let's look at the Mechaber and the Rama in Siv Tezayin. Shechalim Shedacha Me'er Shabbos L'machar No Seinayim V'chametz V'lo Yitzraf El Ma'arev V'chein Shum Shedacha Me'er Shabbos L'machar No Seinayim Pulpa Grisa V'lo Yitzraf El Ma'arev. So that's talking about the Ofen HaGibol, not to do it in an aggressive way. You shouldn't mix it with a spoon, you should mix it with your hand. Take a look in the Shabur, there's Sama Gimel. Alabiyad, Oshi and Aneyad Pliasma. Or shake the kli. So either use your finger or shake the kli. Now we saw last time that the Tzion here is to the Eliyarabba. The Eliyarabba goes to Jumas Adesha. That's the Jumas Adesha we saw last time. Who understood in the Gemara Daf Kuf Mem, whereas the Hilchasa, Bein Miyad, Bein Mekli, as long as you are Ma'ariv and not Mitaref, or not. So there, the Jumas Adesha understood, Bein Miyad, Bein Mekli means either you do the Gibol with your finger, or you do Niyar Kli, or you take the Kli and you shake it to affect the gibol, as opposed to doing a act of gibol lehendu, which was different than how the Kesemish understood the Rambam. As understanding there, Bemukli refers to using a kli in the gibol and not shaking it in a kli. So this is based on that to a suggestion, even though the Gemara only talks lehedya about Ninua Bakli in the Gemara Daf Kuf Nun Vav, but the Gemara says, Shesi Varim is a great Shinoi. It's so good a Shinoi that you're not going to actually mix anything. So then you have to be, you can be Minar Bakli also, and that's permissible. The Chuma Sadesha understood that the Gemara Daf Kuf Mem, when it says Bakli, is really the same thing as the Gemara on Daf Kuf Nun Vav that talks about being Minar Bakli or Pouring Bakli. And that's what the Mishabura here is quoting from Eli Rabba, quoting from the Chuma Sadesha, that these are equivalent. Then the Machaber writes, "Yish Omrim, the other Shari La'ariv Mashke v'Chardel Dafu v'Shinasim Bayom, the Shabbos Aser." That's like the position of Rabbi. Hagav, the Nosin Ochal Chila Bakakach Chomet Zoyayim Arba Betzbo Shari. So Seder Hanasina, and then Ir Be'etzbo's Mother, Davishina Kmav V'Shasisa Del'el, the Chayno Agim Lahadur Aydeshina. And then Shinkaf Dalet Gimel, in the context of Morsan, in the context of animal food. So there, the Mechaber has Shesi V'Arev, Minaro Mikli Okli. Right, Shesi V'Arev. And pouring in the kli al kli in order to affect a sufficient gibol. Okay. But Reb Moshe has the following in his Tshuvos Rabbi Eider. In terms of the relative value of shinuyim. So he writes that the shinui of Shesi V'Arev is the best shinui. Because as we saw, that's what the Gemara indicates on Daf Kuf Nun Vav, that it's such a good shinui, it doesn't really affect the good gibol. That's why you have to come on to Nir B'Kli as well. So Shesi V'Arev is the best shinui. And therefore, because it's the best shinui, since Shesi V'Arev is the best shinui, it's going to work for anything where shinui is effective. So even in a context in which we only explicitly have a reference to shinoy of shinoy aseder or a shinoy of ma'at ma'at, but wherever any other shinoy works, and shinoy shesiv arv is definitely going to work. Shinoy aseder is in the nitzin. I'm talking about a shinoy legibol. So if you anytime you have another shinoy where ma'at ma'at, for example, is raised, so then Shesi V'Arev is definitely going to work because that is the best shinoi. And Moshe assumes that we're makel that you can do Shesi V'Arev multiple times, not like the simple reading of Rashi as we saw that you can only do it once. So you can do Shesi V'Arev multiple times. And Moshe thought that all things being equal, should be choshev v'chazanish, however, to take it out every time you do another move. But then Reb Moshe writes that Shina Ma'ad Ma'ad is worse than Shasi Barev. And the Shina Yaseder is even worse than that. Shina Yaseder is only relevant for a Blila Ava, for a Blila Raka, sorry. And Lalacha, even by a Blila Raka, we are mapping to require a Shina Yaseder Hagibol as well. So in practice, any time that a shinoi the gibul is called for, a shinoi b'shasi b'arev would be sufficient. Or doing it b'yad, even not b'shasi b'arev would be sufficient as well, as we saw in the Ramah Shinkaf Aleph Tezayin. You could do it b'yad as well. The post can say that if you do it b'etzba, then you should be careful to only be ma'arev and not to be torev, not to do it with too much vigor. And that shinui will only work if it's something where the derech is to do it b'kli, and then you do it b'etzba. Our Moshe has a kula, which Rabbi Willie pointed out is not so clear where it comes from. The pashas is that there's no evidence of this. Promotion Os Yudah, the Shuvah Rabbi Ida, writes that wherever etzba is sufficient, you could also use a knife. Meaning, clearly not like the Chazanish. The Chazanish we saw last time understood, based on the simple reading of the Gemara, that the Shinui of etzba, the Gemara calls a machal tamorim. But if you use an etzba, so that's a miya stick to mix your food with your finger. That's how you prepare food for animals. So that's the kind of shiur that we're talking about. That is machal chamor. It's not the normal way of doing it because it's miya stick. That's what the chazanish was machmir, that shiur b'etzba won't work if you put on a glove. Because it has to be your hand mamish, your finger mamish, where it's miya stick to prepare food in such a fashion. However, Rav Moshe assumes that if you do a gibol using either a knife or the handle of a spoon or the handle of a fork, which is analogous to the saka, the sakina that we saw in the context of kochein, and that is a sufficient shinoi. That's a sufficient shinoi in the form of gibol.
Why does the knife the actual knife versus other things only the handle?
Because if you have a spoon, so then it's normal to mix something with the spoon part of the spoon. Mm-hmm. It's not normal to mix something with the knife part of the knife.
What about a fork?
Fork also, sometimes normal to mix something with a fork. Mm-hmm. So if it's the cut of the fork or spoon, then that would be a shinoi. But a knife, you never mix something with a knife, so even if you use the blade of the knife, that would be the same, shinoi.
Okay. Considering you just, like, doesn't a lot of raises, like, pressure.
So. Right. In the Shabbos kitchen, he writes that that only makes sense by a blila raka. Okay. Anyway, we're talking about so that only makes sense by a blila raka. But Rabbi Will pointed out it's questionable where this blila comes from and whether you should rely on it. Okay. There's another important point made by the Prima Gadim. I think we alluded to this previously. Prima Gadim in Sukkot Yibayis, Mishnah Tzav Sukkot Yibayis, assumes, as you might have thought, that in order to affect Lisha, the liquid has to be liquidy. It has to be a liquid that flows. So the Prima Gadim assumes that Lisha is relevant in schmaltz also. It's relevant in goose fat. even though it's something that's not nozel, it's not something that that flows, but it's kind of a middle of the road consistency. So lisha would be relevant there as well. So the post can assume that applies to mayonnaise, and mayonnaise is at that kind of consistency analogous to the schmaltz of the prima gadim. And therefore, lisha would be a problem with mayonnaise. So this would be relevant to making tuna or etzel on Shabbos if you're going to make it with thinly chopped pieces. If you have larger pieces of egg or larger pieces of tuna, so that's what we noted previously, lisha isn't relevant if you have large chunks or large pieces. But if you have finely cut pieces, dak, then lisha is relevant. So according to the Prima Gadim, the lisha is relevant with schmaltz, it'll be relevant with mayonnaise. And that comes up regarding making egg salad on Shabbos. Yeah.
Like often when you're making tuna on Shabbos, like whatever, like there's some small piece and some big piece. So you're not going to end up making a fully homogenous mixture, but certain aspects, certain parts that will be like.
So if certain parts of it will be, will become one entity, that would be a problem. So the Kisses Farm point out a couple of things. Even though it's true that the Prima Gadim assumes lisha is relevant even for schmaltz, but he also writes there that even according to Rebbe, if you're megabel or if you're no saying schmaltz, that's not a chiyuv chatas. Even according to Rebbe, that you're chayv in nistina samayim. But if you put the schmaltz into whatever food item you're mixing it into, that wouldn't be a chiyuv chatas. And the Shvisas HaShabbos goes even further. Shvisas HaShabbos in his Agama Talash Sivkatan Bav, Osbav, he says that according to Rebbe, it'll even be mutter if you don't mix it together. And according to Rebbe, for whom the chiyuv, the rice of Lisha is benesina samayim, if you're going to put the mayonnaise on top of the eggs, but you're not going to mix them together, you're just going to let the mayonnaise sit on top, that's going to be mutter, according to Rabbi, because there's no tarobas at all. Because using schmaltz or mayonnaise is still a step below using regular liquid. So if you put water into flour, according to Rabbi, even if you're never going to mix it, that's a chiyuv d'oraisa and nesinas hamayim. Because there, the mela, you have a tarobas already. Even if you don't mix it, the water permeates the flour, and you already have something that's mixed together as such. But Shvisa Shabbos says that's not true when it comes to schmaltz or our mayonnaise. If you put the mayonnaise on top of the eggs and you don't mix it, you don't really have a tarobas there. You still have mayonnaise that's sitting on top of eggs. So the Orach HaShabbos in footnote Menvav quotes B'Shem Shlomo Zalman that the Shvisas HaShabbos is correct in Svara, and he quotes this B'Shem Rav Yashiv as well, or the Shabbos Kishon quotes this B'Shem Rav Yashiv as well, like the Svara of the Shvisas HaShabbos. So then it should follow, if that's the case, that you can put the mayonnaise on top of the eggs. So according to Shvisas Shabbos, that's Heter Gomer. And now you want to mix them together so that that Gibel would be Mutter Shinuyim, just like any other Gibel. There's a reason that by Yablila Ava, we're Machmir, is because we're Koshish Rashita's Rabbi, that we're talking about a Malacha Deraisa with Blila Ava. But where's the Malacha Deraisa with Blila Ava according to Rabbi? The Malacha Deraisa is in the Nesinas Amayim. But if you're going to tell me there is no malacha deraisa in the Nesinas Amayim, so that's only the Rabbana. So then the only thing of concern is going to be the Gibel. So then if you do Shinui with the Gibel, maybe that will be Mutter. However, the Orach HaShabbos points out that the Berlacha doesn't sound like this. Berlacha sounds like he assumes that according to Rebbe, there will be a malacha deraisa of the Nesinas HaMeinez as well. Where's the Berlacha? Not in Shin Kaf Aleph, by the end of Bor, the end of Shin Yotes. Berlacha Shin Yotes if Yudayin Yiramaskel Shenosin. What are we talking about here in Shulchan Aruch? So Mechaber writes, Hamechabeitz Perish Emotzi Chama Min Ha Chalav told us Bor who. Lefikach Afa Bishenosim Shum Shemin that goes in Midrash Lo Yichab Seim Biado. So if you're putting nuts into honey, you shouldn't gather them together in your hand to separate them from the honey. That could be a bar problem. It says a bear lacha. Shenosim Shum Shemin Dozim Humi Lashem Atasefta. Isasham. Nos nimayim lasof kamakali. You can put water into kamakali. Ubavaj leigabo, as long as you don't mix it. Nos nim shum shemin that goes in lidvash. You can put sesame seeds and walnuts into honey. Ubavaj leigabo, as long as you don't mix it. Vayim are going to have a shahar. Vanachan of Kumashi Kasu. The hub, raisa, asikabiyosu bihuda. That's a sefta that says, you're allowed to put water into kamakali. You're allowed to put nuts into dvash as long as you're not megadol. That's Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, there's never an iser lash daraisa in a sina samayim. Mashakasav shalei gabel, haynu shalei gabel harbe, kiyamad maat. In the Isabim Mara Shamkuf and Vav, the Rabbi in the sina samayim was off a kamach aser. Okay. Aldasa poskin the poskin karebi, gavin is sinu shum shum goes with lash as mishum lash. Yeah, so Mishum Ruh says this goes after that says you're allowed to put shum shum into vash. It goes into vash. That's what Yosef Yehuda. According to Rebbe, you're not allowed to put shum shum goes into lash. So apparently the Baruch is assuming that according to Rebbe, there's a problem of lash the raisa the nesina sadvash. Right, dvash is like schmaltz, that's not nozel, that's not liquidy. That's like mayonnaise. So the Or HaShavah says, well, maybe the Mishnah Brura is talking about liquidy dvash. So it's only by liquidy dvash where there's an issue of nesinas hadvash according to Rebbe. But if it's more coagulated dvash, then there's no issue in the rice. But the Rabbi Karp doesn't like that. Rabbi Karp in footnote 10 says no. If the Mishnah Brura was talking about liquid honey, so then, and if the Mishnah Brura assumed that real honey, even Rebbe agrees, there's no issue in the scene of Samayim. So Hagufa, why does Mishnah Brura have to be dochak to say that the Tosefta is only according to Rebbe Yosef Yehuda? Tell me the Tosefta is Rebbe. We're talking about real honey. So the fact that Mishnah Brura didn't say that sounds like he assumes no, that the issue in the scene of Samayim according to Rebbe is even by real coagulated non-liquidy honey. So Rabbi Karp assumes that the Mishnah Brura is cholek on the Shvisas HaShabbos' analysis, and the Mishnah Brura assumes that even when it comes to mayonnaise and the like, there'll be an issur d'oraisa of nesinas on mayonnaise, according to Rebbe. And therefore Rabbi Karp thinks, maybe some machlokas achronim, but you have to be machmir that it doesn't help, you can't rely on the Shvisas HaShabbos to allow you to put mayonnaise in your egg salad if the eggs are big enough, that would be a problem of a lila oven. Apparently, in the Hasidic world, at least, there is a common practice of making egg salad on Shabbos, even with tiny pieces of eggs, even with no shinuyim, which the post can try to figure out where that comes from. The Deborah Sinner, Ber Moshe, Chelek Vav, Simen, and Dalid. He says, regarding tzibbel, tzibbel is chopped eggs with chopped onions. So he says, is that tight? Sure you have nothing contagious?
What?
Sure you have nothing contagious?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, hope so. You got your booster yet?
Actually, he's got your appointment.
Oh, have to wait another 2 weeks. okay. Any other symptoms?
No.
Whatever you want. So the receiver says, Pasha the mutter la'ari beitzim b'tzalim in shemen. And don't be choshesh for these upstart modern people that are ma'ar on this minhag Yisrael. Ein lochesh klal al irur shel chadashim ikar bo sheyesh lasor b'shem lash. Hello, I was saying to Sifru Lanu, shekeinu yunogim la'ari batzal beitzim shuman lefnei gedoli olam v'tzadikim mefersamim v'chein asu b'beis adami avi mori beitzim keini V'chein ra'isi be'enai eitzel gedoli olam v'yalkena darer pasha t'shari v'shari v'loshin pitla v'ein kan lash plal u'plal. Why? It doesn't really explain. He says, Ein kavanas in ba'ari lasel san gush echad, rak lasez tam tov yafzav b'tarovas habetzim habetzalim. That your intention is not to make a mixture, not to make a gush echad. It's just to add some taste. Yakol roa shol nasu gush echad, ein kan klal fashash lash, v'shari v'irer v'lo klum. V'pashu d'barur minik yisrael Torah, the Ragle Chassid of Yishmar. So back in Hungary, they did this, and no one ever questioned it. So how can you question this holy Midian Yisrael for making civil on Shabbos? What's the reason that's mutter? I shablila ava. So all he says is that your intention isn't really to make a single unit. You're just using the shemen to add flavor to the eggs and the onions. Tshuva Sitz Eliezer Chelev Yud Aleph Simen Lamed Vav deals with this practice as well. The practice of Yoreim Lishleimim to prepare tzibbel on Shabbos. What's that based on? So it begins by saying there's analysis that general principle is we have to give a lot of cut a lot of slap and hug Yisrael, because it's usually based on authentic reasons. He quotes Sefer Tshuvas Minchas Yechiel, Reb Alter Yechiel Nevinsal, Abezin of Stanislav. Ani Re'isi Eitzel Tzadikim V'cheinu minag ha'olam shenostim shuman harbe l'besol v'sut ha'shabbos. V'ma'arvim v'sakim v'nas ha'idei ha'shuman b'li l'raka. V'ein osin shino ilaseis ha'shuman l'kar ha'kodem l'besolim. So he's talking about a b'li l'raka. That's better, obviously. Anything that using a knife is considered a shinoi, like Biad, like Ramosha. Apparently Moshe is not the first to say it. Then he says, maybe rely on ma'at ma'at, even the b'lila ava, even if there are no other shinoyim, quoting from the Sefer Tehillim of David. That's what Shlomo Zalman also quotes in the, or Rabbi Neuber quotes in Shlomo Zalman in one of the footnotes here, to justify those who have this practice, if we make them exile it, that maybe there's a certain element based on the Tehillim of David of Derech Achila. That Shlomo Zalman had this fire also, that if you prepare something in a way that it just to, Shlomo Zalman says in the context of power, that if you're putting powder into liquid to prepare it to eat, and your intention isn't for any form of evil, then maybe that's a derech achila, that would be mutter. So maybe here too, if it's ma'ad ma'ad, samach l'achila, even though in general there's no heter of samach l'achila per se, but if it's just prepared for meeting achila, you see here for other factors, maybe that's relevant as well. Then the Tzitz Eliezer quotes from Shlomo Kluger, who assumes that a lisha the darish to do like arka, not like most Muslims assume. So at least for eggs, leave out the onions. At least for the eggs, maybe it can be made based on that. And Shlomo Kluger also, as we have seen, is made against the prima gadim that there's only lisha b'zayin mashkim. And then he has a svara that we saw in the Ber Moshe, that if the only reason you're mixing it is for Nesinas Tam, but you have no interest in creating a new entity, a Gush Echad, maybe that's Mutter as well. So basically, just an attempt to throw in everything but the kitchen sink and try to see what sticks to justify this minute Yisrael of making egg salad on Shabbos. But bottom line, if you don't have such a family minute, it's probably better to avoid the shiloh and make your egg salad or your tuna salad before Shabbos, or if you need to make it on Shabbos, make sure you have big enough pieces so that you're not running into a problem of lisha. So in practice, just about every salad you would prepare, you could probably make ahead of time. If it's a salad that's not shy of lisha, like the regular green salad or the like, so fine. You don't have to worry about tochet. But if it's something with Shai Lisha, in most situations, you could prepare it before Shabbos and avoid any potential Lisha challenges. Okay. Good. Okay. So let us move on to Bishul now. We'll just start with a brief hakdama today, and then get into the Ritz Hashem next time. So the Gemara tells us on Daf Ayin Dalet in base, we've referenced this before, Halashva Ofes. So in the list of Malachas that the Mishnah tells us, we have Afia, Amra Papa, 7-8 lines down, Ayin Dalet in base, Shavakana Yidei Bishol, Samaman, and Dabba B'Mishkan, V'Nakat Ofa, V'Nakat Ofa. So why is it that in the list of Malachas, it's formulated as oath as opposed to bishul? After all, bishul is what we have in the Mishkan. Rashi v'nakut ofeh, delo shayach b'melechas ha-mishkan klal. So we should have said bishul. Amar v'acha barav avira, sorry, tani didan sidur depas nakat. No, tani v'mishnah is going with sidur depas Rashi, shehis lebo nakat. The Ofa, the Makam Bishol, the Samamanim, who, the who, Bishol, the pass. But since we're talking about Sidur the pass, so we formulate the malacha in pass terms. So fia is the pass application of the malacha, as opposed to bishul, even though bishul was the more authentic Mishkan context. Tosi Rush here writes that they did have a fias pass in the Mishkan as well. References the Gemara Menachos that a fias pass was used to check the cheles. He writes, "V'hadar mina l'kaman shavet tana bishul samimani David Mishkan hachi kama amai shavet ikir adavar shayiv b'mishkan dahein bishul samimani." That the afiyah was secondary in terms of function, even though there was a afiyah down in the Mishkan. So the Gemara's question isn't, why do you mention afiyah not bishul? Afiyah didn't exist in Mishkan at all. It did, but it wasn't the ikar. Mishani tanis yidui the past nakat. Lo chashash lemisni ha'ikar came into ofen ami avi b'mishkan. That it wouldn't have made sense to include a fee if a fee didn't exist in Mishkan at all. It existed perhaps on a secondary level to Bishul. But as long as it existed, and then you have a cheshbon of Sidur in the past, then that's enough justification to identify the malacha as Ofer as opposed to Bishul. Igle Kal in Sifkat and Aleph and Ofer Os Yibes. Quotes from the Sefer Yireim. That Sefer Yireim had a different gerus in our Gemara. Instead of Sidura de Pas Nakat, he had Sidura de Ksiv Nakat. The order of the Pasuk, meaning Pasuk in Mishalach, Eis Asher Tafu Eifu, the Eis Asher Tevashlu Bashelu. So in Pasuk, Afia comes before Bishul. Says it letal v'nira. That's why a fee is considered an av, because there's no svara. If a fee was a tolda and bishul was the av, then it wouldn't make sense that the Torah would have been mocked in the tolda to the av. And that's the raya of the Gemara. Sidura the siv nakat. That in order of pasuk, a fee comes before bishul. And the footnote in the new edition of the letal.
You think that fee is the av and bishul is the tolda?
No, he's saying that they're both avos. It wouldn't have made sense if a fee was just a tolda, then it wouldn't have made sense to be mapped in a tolda to not. So it must be that they're both avos. And Sidur Dixiv Naka, Mishnah mentions a fee, the fee comes first in the pasuk. In the footnote, yeah?
Isn't that usually like a little bit fair because it takes out all the other malachos in the Sidur Tas, and just says as far as Ofa, so Ofa is before Bishul, and therefore not the Bishul.
Right.
If you want to also, the Mishnah said both Ofa and Bishul, and why Ofa was first, but.
Good. And in fact, as the Avnei Nezer notes elsewhere in the Tshuva, which is part of the footnote there in the fancy Leital, I think it's Tshuva Kuf Nun Dalet, in the new edition, the Avnei Nezer new edition, the newly printed version of Sefer Yireim that came out in time of the Avnei Nezer, they changed the Gersa in the Yireim to conform with Argama. But the Amnonizer thinks that's wrong. He said that that's the printers changed it because it has to be like our Gemara. So the Amnonizer thinks that no, the authentic Gersa is the original Gersa. But that's why if you look in our Urayim, in our printed Urayim, it appears like the Gersa in our Gemara. And then so much for the Amnonizer's Diuk or Hara. Yeah, if you do a bar line search for Sidur the Siv Nakat, the only thing that shows up is this Avnei Nezer. So that doesn't appear in any Rishon. Okay. Now, the Igle Tal writes earlier in the very beginning that without the array of the Pashu Shana Gemara, is that Oth is also an Av. Meaning if Sandela Gemara tries to figure out, or excuse me, has to justify why the Malacha mentioned the Mishnah as Oth is supposed to Bishul, but Afia is definitely an Av. And that's the Mashmos who points out in the Rambam, The Rambam Perek Tes. Ofa ki gergeres chayetz. The Rambam begins, the first word of the parak is ofa. Ofa ki gergeres chayetz. Echad ofa tzapas. O hamavashel tzamachal. O samimadim, etc. Right, so ofa or mavashel, but ofa is clearly the av. And in fact, he says, the Rambam only introduces toldos later in the parak, beginning in halacha vav. So the Rambam seems clear that Ofa is an Av. In Osches, the Sifkat and Aleph Osches in the Igle Tal, he goes to Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that Afia is a Toledo. Afia is a Toledo Bishol. He says this may be the Yerushalmi Lishitas. The Yerushalmi assumes this is a part of the Avnei Nesis Hakdama that we referenced at the beginning of the year, that according to the Yerushalmi, Melechah Shabbos is derived from the Avodas HaKarbonos and not exclusively from Avodas HaMishkan or Binyan HaMishkan, the Kehil. As opposed to the Bavli, that the way the Avnei Nezer presents it assumes that the derivation of Melechah Shabbos is only from construction of the Mishkan, not from Avodas HaKarbonos. So the way the Igle Tal spins this is that Yerushalmi, number one, assumes that we derive Melech HaShabbos from Avodas HaKarbanos. And then he says in Machlokas Rebbe Chachamim, whether Afias Lechem Apanim is Docha Shabbos. So, according to Rebbe, that Afias Lechem Apanim is Docha Shabbos, then you can't derive Ofeh from Melechas HaKarbanos, because the only tzir of Ofa and Melechas HaKarbanos is actually Mutar on Shabbos. So he says, according to Rebbe, it makes sense that Ofa would be a Tolada, because there's no example of Afiyah HaAsura B'Shabbos non Avodas HaKarbanos. That might be the context of that statement in the Yerushalmi. He has a Me'iri that he thinks is mashma, that that Afiyah is a Tolada. But I think we generally assume, like the Rambam, that Afiyah is indeed an Af. Okay. Now, the Malacha of Ofa slash Mevashel, generally speaking, refers to changing the physical state of an object through the medium of heat. Not only food, it applies to welding metal as well. Where the Rambam has, based on the Baris, Paritaslach above, Hamatich Echad Mimine Matchus, Kol Shehu. So if you're welding metal, O Mechami Mesamatechas, Achitasik Echel, so you heat up metal until it becomes a coal. Areza told us Mevasha. The Chayin Hamim Masi says, Sadonag, if you melt wax, O Sachelev, So these are examples, these are Gemara's here in Ayin Dalet, these are examples in both directions. You're taking a, you could take a solid object and melt it, or you could take a not fully formed object and solidify it. Right, you can take metal that's not fully formed and form it. We could take wax, or you could take chalev or tar and melt it. So both of these cases, the Sado Shava, is that you're using heat to change the state. Rabbi Karb writes, Perichas Zion, that you are allowed to pour hot water into a plastic or paper utensil, even though that's going to cause the plastic or the paper to slightly soften. Because number one, he says the effect on the paper cup is minimal. You're not melting it. That's a very slight slight change. He also goes to Rav Yashiv that the Malachim Mevashel is relevant if you take something solid and you liquefy it or you change the state, or you take something soft and you solidify it. But here, the paper cup is bad. The plastic cup is bad, some flimsy. So you take something flimsy and then you make it a little more flimsy. That's not the malacha of Mevashel. And the third story he has, which Rav Ozner has also in Chelek Ches, Simon and Zion, is that you have no interest in, it's lo nichale, to do anything to destroy the cup, and it's a form of metalka. And it's Mitzayin, Rav Ozner is Mitzayin Magen Avraham to that effect. Magen Avraham is Shin Yud Ches of Katan Lamed Vav. Shin Yud Ches of Katan Lamed Vav. Magen Avraham is going on following halacha in Shulchan Aruch. This is in Sif Yud Dalet. It's a few days. Mechan shapina mimenu mayim chamin. Mutter lite lesocho mayim sone merubim hidei lav shirin. If you have a kettle that you removed hot water from on Shabbos, you can put cold water in order to take the chill out of the cold water, as long as the cold water isn't going to heat up to yasalot. It says in Magravan Lam above, the lower meaning of Mitzayir Fakli. Why aren't you worried that you're causing some change in the kli? The Darvish Amos Kavin, who? That's the Darvish Amos Kavin, the lab to Grey Shehu. The Kasabak and Mishnah, near the Kosh Amos Kavin, in my long rips of Grey Shehu, the high mission, the Shemus Kavin, Osim Lacha, the Shemus Kavin, Aimam Lacha Pal, Shari Aina wrote to last as a man of kli. So here, if your interest is not at all in affecting any change in the plea, then that's a Darshei Meskavein, and that's not considered a Tzikresha. So Rosner thinks that putting hot water into a plastic cup would be analogous to that. The only outlier that we'll have to talk about is water. Because water, you're not allowed to eat of water. That doesn't really fit into this definition of affecting a change of state, right? The water, when you heat up the water, it looks the same as before you heat it up. Nothing changes in the actual state of that water. So water may be a different category where etzem, heating up of water, is itself an act of bishul, even though there's no change of chefsa, sichas, nish, Simon Lamed Zayin Osir Gimel, and the Gilei Tal talks about this in its Hakdama to Ofer as well. Okay, so let's stop here for today. So we will be starting with Hashem Simon Shin Yud Ches. We'll spend a little bit of time on Sif Aleph and Maaseh Shabbos, and then we'll move on. I guess the first topic is Sif Gimel of Bishul Be'or, who be told us or. So more or less, we'll go al Seder, HaShulchan Aruch, and Simon Shin Yud Ches. I'll try to send you some additional Maamar Kamos now. to get you started. So, Mr. Shem, we will.
Did you send us more calls already?
I sent you more calls through today, which was the dumb that we just did. And I'll do another right after some more right now. That's a little while. Okay. Great.
What? I need to know.